This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
Cybersecurity, a mainstream topic now, it seems, in politics and business, in our own lives. To talk about this, our guest is Francesca Spitalieri, Senior Fellow for Cyber Leadership at the Pell Center at Salve Regina University. She is also a member with the Governor's Cybersecurity Commission. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mark, for having me here today.
As we get into this discussion, a quick take on the matter of the possible cyber interference in recent U.S. elections. What's your sense of it?
Well, let me first make clear that I strongly believe, like most experts in the field, that Russian government absolutely interfered with our electoral process and election. Although they didn't carry out any massive attack, and I don't think that they choose our candidate or our president, I would argue that they still achieved their desired effect, because by meddling in the election, by spreading fake news, by hacking different party organizations, they were able to sow at least some doubt in the integrity of the U.S. electoral process and Western values in general. And we're seeing the same now happening in Europe, in all those countries that have presidential elections coming up.
Well, you know, if there's an easy segue into business, we're dealing with the effects of the election, whatever they were. You know, do you see state actors being engaged in business, cyber attacks as well? It's not, you know, not just individuals and companies.
Absolutely. And so first of all, state actors actually have the most cyber defensive and offensive capabilities, and they're becoming increasingly dangerous. At the same time, non-state actors are also acquiring some of those capabilities, and they're targeting all of our businesses in every sector, an organization of all sizes, and again, in every market.
I mean, it used to be called industrial espionage, so it's progressed, if we could say progressed, to this point where maybe a competitor is doing some hacking.
Well, so there, I see two different issues. One is cybercrime, so the use of computers and networks to steal information, steal money. And on the other hand, we have industrial espionage, which is the use, again, of those same tools and computers to steal sensitive information, such as intellectual property.
What's really interesting about this is the getting in there is actually oftentimes through the most modest means, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, every day, I think about 156 million phishing emails are sent.
What would give away an apparent innocent-looking email?
So first of all, I always look at the sender, look at the entire URL. Most often, it's really long, and you should look at all the way to the end when you realize it wasn't really that email from Amazon. I also look at the greetings. When it's dear customer or dear members, most likely, again, not a legitimate email. If they know you, they know your name. I also look at the link. If you just hover your mouse over a link and you can see the entire URL, you again can see whether it's the legitimate address. I always advise to be very wary of any emails encouraging you to take immediate action, urgent action. The IRS is not going to ask you for your personal information via email. It's not going to let you know that you're in trouble via email. Your Amazon account is not going to ask you for your social security number and other personally identifiable information via a general email.
Now, if you don't act on that, if it's just sitting in your inbox but you haven't clicked on anything, is it still going to be dangerous? Might it still activate itself and get into your system?
We are seeing some of that. It's still very sophisticated. The problem is not just clicking on a link. An email might also come with an attachment. And the moment you download that attachment, nothing might happen on your computer that you see. Business will go on as usual, but that attachment can infect your machine and all the others that it's connected to in your network if you're at work.
And some of these expeditions can last for years, right? I mean, they can sit in the background, let you conduct business, but they're, you know, sort of siphoning off information bit by bit, right?
Yes, we know that an average the intrusion can last up to 300 days before it's detected.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Francesca Spitalieri, Senior Fellow for Cyber Leadership at the Pell Center at Salve Regina University. Okay, we have the red flag warnings, but suppose you just instinctively click on something and right then you say, oh no, what should one do?
Especially if this happens while you're at work, don't be scared to notify right away your managers and your IT department. And leaders or managers need to create that culture where you're not ashamed if you make a mistake like that. Because you can take the computer and physically disconnect it, awfully. You can neutralize the threats or at least quarantine the machine or machines that at that point have been infected and take precaution. After that, there should be an investigation to figure out if anything has been taken, anything has been affected. But don't be afraid to speak up if you realize you've made a mistake.
Well, now we've been talking about sort of work, but you know what's there's a kind of a new threat coming in, which is not at work at all. And it seems like pretty mundane stuff, like using your cell phone to turn on the lights in your house. I mean, how is this all connected with cybersecurity?
Well, isn't that fascinating? All the things that we can now do remotely, and really it's opening up tons of opportunities. So this is the concept of the Internet of Things. And what that really is this huge network of connected things, devices, and increasingly even people. Everything from your cell phone, like you mentioned, to your coffee makers, washing machine, lamps, wearable technology, and increasingly devices in your business, your Nest thermostat, your smart building that have smart grid and possibly solar panel, wind generator that create energy and that know whether you're in the building so that the lights can turn on or the temperature can go up and down. It opens a variety of opportunities for us to be more efficient, more productive, increase economic growth, but it's also opening a wide variety of threats because we are increasing the attack surface and we're providing more ways for the attackers to get in. Now you can hack my toaster and possibly get on my home network, which will be connected to my computer, which most likely has my personal information.
Safeguards against that. What would you suggest?
Have very strong password, first and foremost, both for your router and for all those devices. Don't connect everything unless you absolutely have to. Monitor it, configure your firewall. Most of the router in our home come with those ability. You have to properly configure, properly update it, have updated antivirus, anti-spyware software. And again, make sure you're always alert. Check your bank account often to see if there is anything it doesn't look right. Check your computer for any sign of slowing down or possibly something that is not working right, and look for help. Ask your IT department at work. Ask your friend that might understand a little bit more about cybersecurity.
Any other thoughts you'd like to add?
Well, I would invite all of you to look at this week is we celebrate Data Privacy Day on Saturday, and all week throughout the country, there are events, including at the Pell Center, South Virginia University, to promote the importance of privacy and data protection. There are free events, lots of tips and recommendations on social media, and really to promote across businesses, but also at the individual level, the importance of protecting our own privacy and our own data from possible attackers out there.
Okay, we've been speaking with cybersecurity expert Francesca Spito-Yeri from the Pell Center at Save Regina University. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.